chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. It's traditional reading for Palm Sunday. After he said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. When he'd come near Bethpage and Bethany, at a place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with loud voices for all the deeds and powers that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. Today in many Christian churches, there will be much pomp and circumstance with processionals led by children waving palm branches. Ministers will talk about the large crowds that gathered and how Jesus rode into town on a donkey just like kings used to do. They'll talk about the shouts of Hosanna, about the kingship of Jesus, and about how this was his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the town where he would soon die as a sacrifice to save the world from its sins. Well, you are definitely not going to hear or see any of that here today. You see, I don't believe that the entry was triumphal. I actually doubt that there was much of a crowd there that day, because if there had been, knowing how the Roman government operated, Jesus probably would have never made it another day alive, more or less another week alive. You see, Jesus and his followers, along with tons of other people, were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, which, as most of you know, is a Jewish celebration. And this is the important part, that remembers the story of how Moses led the people of Israel in escaping a repressive and enslaving government. Now, as you might imagine, Rome, actually being a repressive and enslaving government, was somewhat uncomfortable with this kind of celebration. They certainly didn't want people to get any ideas about another exodus, this time from the occupying Roman government. So, if a large crowd had looked to Jesus as their new king, as in reported in their saying of "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," well, the Roman government would likely have put him down very quickly. At the same time, even from a small crowd, the shouts of "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," well, it obviously probably played a role in Jesus' ultimate facing of corporal punishment. After all, that's why a sign reading "King of the Jews" hung with Jesus on his cross. This was his crime, blasphemy and sedition. Now, believe it or not, our last 2 weeks talking about resisting the powers that be actually lead us up to this point in our Bible story. That's right. The way I read this story, it's a story about confronting the powers that be. I can't help but see his entry into Jerusalem as anything other than that, a direct response to what would be Pontius Pilate's entry about the same time into the city. See, as the prefect, or essentially as the governor of the area, he would parade. Pilate would parade through the front gates of the city on a large steed, surrounded by soldiers. Jesus, on the other hand, comes in through a small back gate, riding a donkey that had never been ridden before, which was probably a hilarious thing to see. Not to mention that while kings might once have ridden on donkeys, they didn't anymore. And then those around him, rather than soldiers, were everyday folk singing about peace. Palm Sunday is not a story of Jesus being recognized as the most powerful king of all. Palm Sunday is a story of confronting the powers that be. And it really shouldn't be all that surprising to us, actually. As I mentioned, the people were arriving to celebrate escaping out from under the heavy hand of Egypt, which is certainly a story of escaping the powers that be. And now we have Jesus entering into the city humbly and surrounded by people singing songs of peace, contrasted with Pilate entering in powerfully and surrounded with warriors. Palm Sunday is a story of confronting powers that be. Now, just in case we didn't pick up on all the little subtle context in today's story, Luke's author follows this arrival into Jerusalem with a story that is undeniably about confronting the powers that be. And keep in mind that the Roman government has upped its law enforcement game for this week of Passover. They don't want to take any chance of Passover inspiring an uprising, so they brought in extra forces to quickly squash out even the first signs of trouble. Now, of particular interest to them is the temple. You have to realize, the government and religion had a very close ties. The Pharisees and the Sadducees weren't just religious leaders, they were also the local government. And one of their big sources of income came from the sales that happened in the courtyard of the temple. And many of the people who would be traveling to Jerusalem for this celebration would want to make a special sacrifice in the temple. Now, but because of how far they had to travel and because of how difficult these journeys could be, it wasn't always feasible for them to bring their own sacrifices, particularly those who weren't already possessing very many things. It made it more difficult to bring it with them. So the temple provided a place where they could purchase the appropriate sacrifices. Now, the only problem was, being that they had a monopoly on this whole buy an appropriate sacrifice here thing, they took advantage of people. Doing business with them was a risky thing if you valued your money. And the largest majority of the people they took advantage of tended to be the poor. On a week like Passover, that courtyard of the temple would have been particularly packed with people busily bustling about doing their business. You can probably imagine, with all the other things that we've already talked about today, that the Roman government was very concerned about this area. So they visibly posted extra soldiers on top of the guard walls that surrounded the court. You can also probably imagine that Jesus, who had spent most of his life teaching about love and equality and justice, was less than happy to see the temple being used with its power to take advantage of those who had so little. So, Jesus walked right into the temple under the watchful eyes of the soldiers surrounding it and took on the powers that be and their willingness to take advantage of people who already had so little. As I said, I actually doubt that the crowd was very big as Jesus entered into the city bouncing around on that donkey that had never been ridden before. I do suspect, however, that the Roman government had heard, at least, of the small crowd shouting that Jesus was the King of the Jews, that he comes in the name of the Lord. But at that point, it was just a sideshow, nothing to be concerned over, no real threat. But this courtyard thing, there would definitely have been a big crowd there. And there was no reason to report it back to the government about what had happened, because he did it knowingly under the watchful eye of the government's henchmen. Combined with the story of his entry into Jerusalem, I suspect that this was the beginning of the end for Jesus. This is where the powers that be began to recognize him as a viable threat to their power and began to conspire to rid themselves of this thorn in the side. These two stories together are a story not only of confronting the powers that be, but they are a reality check as to how far the powers that be will go to protect their status. It is a story whose conclusion happens on Easter. It's a story that continues to echo in the world today. We can look to the life story of Dr. Martin Luther King and see it. We can even see it in our political races as whole groups of people who are used to being privileged are beginning to lash out as they feel their power slipping away. Confronting the powers that be can be dangerous work. It should not be taken lightly. It can be unsettling, unnerving, and downright uncomfortable. The powers that be will not go down gently. They never do. They will use every tool available to them. And in confronting them, we could be risking our good name, our freedom, and even, as we'll see on Easter Sunday, even our lives. Yet, we are morally obligated to confront them. Yes, we are called to do so lovingly, but confront them we must, because they will not relinquish their power gently. This is a story of the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And this is not a Lord who lords over people. This is not a Lord who abuses power. This is not a Lord like those we see far too frequently in our governments and in our businesses. Believe it or not, this Lord actually takes us all the way back to Moses. It takes us back to the story that sets him into motion to free his people from the powers that be. You see, the word Lord in the English Bible actually comes from the word Yahweh or Jehovah, which are just vocalized versions of what Moses was told at the burning bush when he asked for God's name. And as the story goes, the voice says to Moses, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. The root of that word, it name, is to be, or I am. Think of it as God is, or God will be what God will be. For me, this points to the fullness, the everythingness of God. It says that God is of and in everything. Of course, that kind of Lord, that Yod Hey Vav Hey, that God of everythingness, of course that Yod Hey Vav Hey confronts the powers that be. Confronts those that lords over others. This isn't those bad kinds of lords. This is a good Lord. And on Easter, we will learn how far that kind of love, that kind of Lord, will go to overthrow the powers that be in the name of equality and justice.